I appreciate the opportunity that we have to come and visit with each other and worship our Lord.
Amen.
This time of year seems to excite children and adults for a lot of different reasons, but I can think of no better reason to be excited than to praise and worship our Lord and Savior as we commemorate His birth on this day. This is one in 365 days that it of possibility. We know nobody knows exactly what day. Even the early church didn't know. But this is a day that we've set aside to commemorate His birth. I have maybe a strange subject today, but it's not unrelated to His birth. It may be a strange place to start out. There was a man named Jesse, and there was a man named Samuel. Samuel was a prophet of God during the time when Saul was the king, first king, no, second king of Israel. God was their king, always had been their king. But they wanted to be like all the other nations, and God anointed, Samuel anointed Saul to be the king. Saul disobeyed God. And there was a God told Samuel, "I'm going to have you anoint me another king. The one that the men chose was not God's king for them. God said, I'm going to choose a king and I want you to anoint him, and I want you to go down to Jesse's house. And the one that I want you to anoint is the one I'm going to reveal to you which one it is." And so Samuel went down to Jesse's house in chapter 16. Samuel did what God told him to do when he came to Jesse's house. They asked him, "Come thou peaceably?" Because see, when a prophet of God would come to a place, they would wonder, is this going to be a good visit or a bad visit? Is the Lord telling you good? Are you going to bring good tidings or are you going to bring bad tidings? Because we know you're a prophet of God. And he said, peaceably. He said, in verse 5, "I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, that was his eldest, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called his... See, Eliab was his oldest son. And then he went to his next oldest son just down the line. And he passed, caused him to parade and pass before Samuel. And Jesse probably thought, well, surely this is him. And then he had another one pass, his next, and he's, nope, that wasn't him. And he did that. All seven of his sons passed before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said, are here all thy children? Are all of your children here? Are you sure you don't have any others? Because God told me he was going to anoint one of yours. And Jesse said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy. That means he was red. Not really, he was kind of fair skinned. He hadn't been hardened by the world. He was young. And he was of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. That means he was a good-looking young man. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. God removed it from Saul and placed it on David. That was an evident token that David was the new king. And yet he had not been revealed to Israel yet. He was God's anointed from that day when Samuel called him from the flocks of sheep of his father. And that was the... He was king that day, I submit to you. In God's eyes, he was their king, and yet he had not been revealed to them yet. Oh, but there came a day. And do you know that there was... that spirit that left Saul... When the Spirit of the Lord leaves you, you have a troubled spirit at that point, don't you? If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, the only spirit you could have would be a troubled one. Now, an evil spirit come upon Saul, and he says, and some of Saul's servants said, look, we've got this... I know this young man. He can play. He's cunning on playing the... what was it? A harp? Yeah, cunning player on a harp. David knows how to play harp. And he says, and his servant told the king Saul, when your soul is troubled, when your spirit's troubled, then you can call David in and he'll play the harp and make you feel better. So Saul said, go call him. And it was so. When he played the harp, It kind of rejuvenated the king. Well, come to pass that there was this big... the enemy of Israel, one of the enemies of Israel was the Philistines. And the Philistines set a battle in array. And an array means they were arranging themselves for battle. And the Israelites and the Philistines were kind of on these two... hills and mountains and looking down in this valley, and they were ready to fight, but the way they fought back then was a lot of times that they would send out a champion. I mean the man of war that was most skilled in hand-to-hand combat. They trained in it day in and day out from the time that they were young for war. Hand-to-hand combat. I mean one-on-one fighting. And so they had this man, and in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, this man says, in verse 8, and he stood and cried, this man's name was Goliath. Sounds like a big man, don't it? And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. You see, that's how this happened. A lot of times these armies would get together, and I guess they figured out it's not really good for all of our people to die. Let's just send our best against your best, and if our best can't beat your best, we'll be your servants. That's what happened. And so Goliath comes down there, and he, day after day after day after day, he presents himself mocking to Israel, saying, if you've got a man that can come down here and beat me, send him on. And if he can beat me, we'll be your servants. Day after day, he did this, presenting himself before the armies. Now, some say it's estimated that Goliath was 9 to 11 feet tall. That's pretty tall, isn't it? 9 feet. That's 3 feet taller than me. I'm 6'3", or used to be. That's 3 feet. That's taller than this ceiling. Which one of y'all wants to go up and fight a man 9 feet tall? I don't. And none of the armies of Israel wanted to either. And so Jesse told David, David, I want you to go take some cheese and some bread and some other victuals, food to your brethren, and then come back. So he left the sheep to see the battle and to provide for his brethren. So he takes the bread and the cheese. And he goes, and David sees this Philistine out here, and he says, and he ran to the enemy and he saluted his brethren in verse 32. And as he talked with them, David says, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard him. So he'd been doing this day after day after day, and David heard him on this day. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Nobody wanted to go down and fight this Goliath. And I'm telling you, it was probably getting to be pretty soon. And that was a fearful thing. They did it to incite fear. The Philistines did it to incite fear day after day after day. They knew nobody was going to go down there and fight against them. And pretty soon they were all just going to overtake them because it'd be easy. It's easy to fight a person that's just been beat down and afraid, isn't it? Easy to conquer that kind of people that are afraid. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Did y'all catch that? He's going to make his father's house free in Israel. That means Jesse and all of his house would be free. David was going, would be able to set his father's house free. Y'all catch that? Keep that in your mind. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? He asked them again, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him again, after the manner, this shall be done to the man that killeth him. And his oldest brother says, his anger was kindled against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Acting like he's worried about the sheep. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. He says, you're just going to spectate, David. That's the reason why you come down here. You just want to spectate. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Now that word cause right here means to speak. David, there is a cause, the way that we normally would say a cause. There's a cause. Everybody has a cause. But this word right here means, have I not spoken? All I did was ask. All I did was inquire. I haven't done anything yet. I just wanted to check it out. But there is a cause. David already knew that there was a cause. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the very armies of God? He knew that there was a cause in the way that we have done it, and in the way that we can speak of a cause. But here this word means to speak. He says, I've spoken it. That's all I did. I'm just inquiring. I'm speaking about it. And David says, God, he says, at this point, David only spoke the words, but he was about to prove the words. Once again, God is going to prove to Israel that he is their provider, and he's their protector, and he is their king. And so, their champion was a ruddy shepherd boy that left his father's house. To do something for a cause. I want you to know that this unlikely character, this unlikely shepherd boy, was going to deliver Israel that day, and he was going to set his whole father's house free. Amen. And he went into Saul, and Saul said, who is this? And I don't know whether he had lost his mind. David had already played before him and made the evil spirit kind of go away from him. He knew David. I think he was probably so distraught that he didn't realize what was going on. And they came and told him and said, look, there's this little boy out here that says he's going to go. And David said, all right, you can go. He says, but you got to take my sword. You got to put my armor on. David said, I don't need all that. He says, I know how to fight. There was a lion and a bear that came at different times. Lions and bears don't come at the same time, do they? And stole a lamb, and I delivered the lamb out of their mouth. And I'll be able to take care of this Philistine. He said, I just caught that lion by the beard and smote him and slew it. Now, I've seen a lion in the wild, and I've seen plenty of them up close in the zoo. How many of y'all want to go up and grab a lion by his mane and take a knife or something and slay it? David did that. Now, Saul says, oh, I can just see Saul clamoring. You got to get my sword and make sure you're all prepared for this war. He says, you can't go out there to meet that man. You're but a youth, and he's been trained in the art of war from his youth. There's no way that you can go out there. And David put off, made him wear those armor. And David said, I'm putting it off. I haven't proved it yet. That means I hadn't tried it out. And I haven't proved it to be useful to me. And he says, but there's one thing I know how to do. I know how to use a sling. And it might not look like it's a big sword, and it might not look like it's going to be an effective weapon, but I know how to use that sling. And old David went down there, and this big old 9 to 11 foot tall man had a shield so big, had a man to carry his shield before him. And it said that his staff or his spear was like a weaver's beam, bigger than a broomstick, like a javelin. Just think about how big the head would be on a man that was 11 feet tall. I bet his head was that big. And I bet when he spoke with a very loud voice and a very deep voice and a booming voice. And I bet it was a scary voice. And he was mocking David. And he said, I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air today. And David said, listen here, fella. You would defy the armies of God. And not only am I going to kill you, but I'm going to feed your body to the fowls of the air. And he said, and I'm going to cut your head off. And David picked up 5 smooth stones. I think he just didn't choose them out. I think he just grabbed up a bunch of them in his hand and put them in his shepherd's back. And then he started running to the enemy. He wasn't afraid. He was a young man, a young boy, shepherd boy. And he ran to that enemy. He wasn't afraid of him. He ran to it. And I can tell you that he had been so good with that sling. He was running while he was slinging it. Around and around and around and around and around, and when he got it just right, he let her fly. And it sunk deep into the Goliath's forehead, and he fell dead on the hammer. And David took his own sword and cut his head off. And they pursued the Philistines as they fled. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? You see, one man with great vision. One man with great faith. One man with unfailing trust in God. One man can make all the difference in the world. A little shepherd boy can prove to a whole nation that God's their king. One little shepherd boy can free his whole father's house in Israel. I want us to fast forward a little bit. John chapter 12. We're going to fast forward a lot. John chapter 12. Verse 22. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Is there a cause? Is there a cause? Jesus said, for this cause came I unto this hour. You know, there was a lot of people that were looking in David's day to be delivered from their enemy. On that day when the armies of the Philistines were mocking God's people, there was a cause then, and there was a cause then. And Jesus said, for this cause came I to this hour. David said there was a cause that Israel needed to be delivered. And Jesus said, this cause that I'm come to this hour, the hour of my death, is the reason why I came into this world, is this very hour. We sing songs about His birth. We celebrate and commemorate His birth on this day. And I'm glad that we have set aside a day to do that. As long as we don't adulterate it with the materialism of the world. But Jesus said that whole reason why the angels proclaimed to the shepherds. Y'all hear that? He proclaimed it to the shepherds that glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. For this day is born unto you a Savior. I want you to know that those shepherds saw, they were frightened, but those angels gave them peace, didn't they? He said, you need to go down. He's born in Bethlehem. And those shepherds said, we want to make haste. So they, like David did, they ran to see the thing. They left their sheep too, feeding on the field, in the field at night, and they went to see the glory of the Lord. And Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world. He didn't, the cause that Jesus came into the world was not to be just born into the world. There was a reason why he became a man. And the reason why he became a man was so that he would go to the cross. And that going to the cross wasn't just to make salvation possible, was it? I want us to go and read a little bit about the birth. You know, every Christmas, I like to read what's commonly called the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. We're not going to go to Luke today. And we did that last night. And I think it's a great thing to do. Most people only hear about that once a year. But the birth of Jesus Christ was not so that he would just have his advent in the world and live a good life. The reason why was because that so that he would die. That was the cause that he came into the world. Now, let's turn to Matthew 1. We'll start with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now being found with child, before you come together in a marriage, was scandalous back then. And it used to be scandalous in America, but I don't want to get crazy and digress. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Who's telling him this? An angel of the Lord is telling him this. You know, the angels appeared to the shepherds too, didn't they? Angel of the Lord is telling Joseph. And who's he calling? Son of David. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she, talking about Mary, shall bring forth a son. Y'all believe that? Y'all believe she did? It was a boy, a young male child. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he, that meaning Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You know, God had spoken to them a lot, just like David had spoken too. But he hadn't proved it. God had time and time and time again spoken to the people of Israel that I'm your king. I'm your salvation. I am everything that you need. And it's all encapsulated in my son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. That's the beginning of his advent into the world. And then again in John 18. Let's turn back over to John 18. Wow, it seems kind of strange where we're... It doesn't take long, does it? Just a few pages. Turn just a few pages. And you go from his birth to his death. Not many pages. Just a few. John 18. Here he is before Pilate. Pilate in verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this of thy thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus didn't say, You ought to consider what I say and believe it. He said, Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Jesus says that it was, this is the reason that I was born into this world. To this end was I born. You see, the reason for his birth was not his birth. The reason for his birth was his death. Because of the cause of it. The reason that he had to come was because of the sin that his children were under in the end. That's the cause. And the end of that was the end of his birth was the accomplishment of the reason why he came. It was to accomplish the will of God and to save his people from their sins. He didn't pose a question or the possibility of saving his people from their sins. The angel declared with a loud voice that he shall save his people from their sins. And when he saves his people, that tells me that he's their possession. They're his sheep. And he delivers his father's house. Y'all, just like David did. He delivered his father's house and made them free in Israel. Just like Jesus has delivered you and set you free from the bondage of sin. Oh, how beautiful is that? You know, if you want to look at pictures, similarities, look at the life of David and see the difference between God's anointed king. I mean, the one that God anointed king. The one that God told Samuel to anoint. That was God's real anointed king. Now, Samuel anointed Saul, but Saul wasn't God's choice. David was God's choice for king. Now, you want to look at a picture between Christ, between David's life and the life of Christ, and all the Psalms that David wrote about Christ, personifying Christ in talking about himself. David said that in Psalm 109, he said, "They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause." That means there was no cause for them to hate me. And yet they hated me. David said they hated me without a cause, and that it was brought to pass. We find there, and I didn't write it down, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of in the Psalms. They hated me without a cause. And that's one of the places he said it over and over. They didn't have a cause to hate me. Jesus even asked them a question: "For what bad thing have you brought me here?" And they had to trump up charges against him because he went about doing good. Jesus went about doing good in his life. He says, "For which one of those works did you bring me here?" And they said, "We didn't bring you in here because you did bad, but because you made yourself God." He didn't make him. He didn't have to make himself God. He was God. They just didn't see it. They couldn't see it. But there was a bunch of people that did. Now, they hated him without a cause. But he loved them, loved his people, because they were his family and his sheep. And there was a cause. Jesus didn't come in here willy-nilly. He didn't come out here, down here to this old world for possibilities. Jesus didn't come down here for unsure things. He came down here for a reason. And the reason was you. The reason was his people. He didn't come down here to shed his blood for the wicked that were not of his children or his people. He came down here for them. Now, there's a bunch of causes in the scriptures I want y'all to realize. But I want to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 7. But we have this, I'll back up to 6. For God who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You notice that didn't say always bearing about it in the body the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it wasn't about his birth. It's about his death. The dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. His birth is not what accomplished salvation. You understand? It was his death that accomplished the will of the Father. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Now this is a cause that'll help us. This is a cause that will help us not to faint. And what is that cause? Well, Paul says, because of this, we won't faint. Now, what is it that keeps you from fainting? It'd be in 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You see, the basis of all this is the resurrection. And he says, and because of the resurrection and the great grace that's been bestowed on us, where's the source of all that? The source of all that is God. And therefore he is to be glorified for that. That we may open our mouth and speak. We've heard it, and we speak the glory of God. Because he's worthy. And then he says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, that means temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul's saying there might be a lot of cause for us to faint if we looked at the temporal things, the temporary things. There might be a lot of reasons for us to faint. There might be a lot of causes for us to faint if we weren't looking at the resurrection. There might be a lot of reasons for us to faint if we weren't redounding our praises back to God in glory and ascribing glory to Him. If we looked on the outward things and not the eternal things. Paul says there's a cause for our glorying in God. And it's the resurrection. There's a cause for our glorying and worshiping our Heavenly Father. Because He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners, like Paul said, of whom I am chief. And He saved, and He sent His Son into the world to save His people from their sin. And that's the cause why we ought to glorify God. He had a cause in having His advent and exit from the world. And it was to save his people. And we have a cause also that will keep us from fainting, that our voices might redound to the glory of God.
Right.
That's our cause, and that'll keep us from fainting when we remember about the resurrection, when we remember about the grace of God, when we remember why Jesus came, that he came for a cause, and his cause was you. And his cause was, more importantly, or more pointedly, the salvation of you, his people. Why do you praise God? Do you praise him because he might have made salvation possible? No. You praise him because Jesus brought salvation, and he delivered it, and he secured it by his death, burial, and resurrection. Is he worthy to be praised? He's worthy to be praised because he did all that. May God help us to remember the cause of his death and the cause of our worship in glorifying the Father. Doors of church are open for reception of members, should any have that desire to come and to redound to the glory of God and to rest with us here at this church. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.